Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, so I want you to think about your favorite TV show. Let's imagine you're watching an episode of it, and all of a sudden, the main character dies. Maybe you didn't see it coming. Maybe you did, right? It doesn't really matter. But let's also imagine that you know there's a few more seasons left to the show. So that means one of two things is going to happen. Either that character is somehow going to come back from the dead, which has happened in some shows, or the show is going to continue on without them, which has happened in some shows too. In the world of comic books, it's usually the first option. Right? When a comic book superhero dies, the odds are pretty good that they're going to be brought back to life. This has happened so often that it's led to the phrase comic book death. Comic book readers know that there is no need to be shocked or in grief when the hero dies, because they will simply be brought back later. There's no real emotional punch to their death. But why are they brought back? Well, actually, there's a very practical reason. Publishers want to keep making money. And you can't sell comic books if your main character is dead. So this means that the only time there really seems to be something emotionally at stake is at the end of the series. Like the series finale of your favorite TV show. At that point, you don't know if the character is going to live or not. This is the end of the story. So maybe the character will survive, or maybe they won't. Like, you might want the final scene to be all the main characters sitting around, playing poker together, living happily ever after. But there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Some people, including many Christians, see Jesus' death as a comic book death. We know the story of his passion and crucifixion, but we also know that Good Friday wasn't the series finale. Maybe it was a good cliffhanger for the season finale, but it wasn't the series finale. In the premiere of the next season, on that first Easter morning, Jesus is alive again. And although that's the very definition of good news, it also takes the emotional punch out of his death. Right? We're not shocked that Jesus died. We don't grieve for him, because we know he comes back. Easter isn't that much of a surprise for us. But in our lives, death doesn't work like that. When we experience the death of a loved one, it hits us hard, because we know they're not coming back. We don't get another season of the show to see how they return. There aren't a few more comic book issues until they reappear again. There are not three more days and then the discovery of the empty tomb. No, when they die, that's it. That's the series finale of their life. in Jesus' life, the ascension sort of works this way. Yes, the disciples had grieved his death, and they'd been surprised at his resurrection. But with the ascension, he's gone. Right after his resurrection, he spent some time with the disciples. He led them to Jerusalem. He said some final words to them. And then a cloud took him out of their sight. And that was it. I once heard Ascension Sunday called the Great Day of Honesty. And I like that name for it. Because this is honestly what death really feels like. Jesus isn't here with us like he once was. When our loved ones die, they aren't here with us like they once were. And they don't come back. And so sometimes we stand there at their grave, staring at their headstone, like the disciples staring up into the sky, because that was the last place we saw them. We cling to that moment because we don't want them to really be gone. Or even better, think about a funeral you've been to, where you get that one last look in the casket before it's closed. That's the last time you get to see your loved one. You don't know how things will go on after this. That's what the ascension felt like for those disciples. But then something happens. As they were staring up into the sky, wondering how the story would continue without the main character, two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Right now, we need to remember that the book of Acts is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. Right? It's sort of like the spin-off series from the main show. It was written by the same author and picks up right where the Gospel of Luke ends. And like a spin-off series, some of the characters carry over. Like these men in white. They were in the original story. They were the ones at the empty tomb. They were the ones who told the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen." Which means, if you think about it, when they appear, they say the same thing. They tell people that they are looking for Jesus in the wrong places. He is not in the grave, and he is not up in the sky. Instead, the risen Christ appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He gave the disciples his peace and ate bread and fish with them. He was there among them. The same thing is true for the disciples at the ascension. Listen to what these angels say again. "This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The disciples saw him go into heaven from among them, which means he will return from among them too. He will not return by coming down out of the sky, because that's the opposite of how they saw him go. Rather, according to these angels, he will come from among them, from their midst, like in those post-resurrection appearances. But how? Right, in those post-resurrection appearances, he had a body. A resurrected body, to be sure, but still a body. With the ascension, though, there is no body anymore. So how is Jesus still present with us? How will he come from among them? How will the story go on now without the main character, who is both absent and yet still somehow present? Well, Jesus himself told us. Listen again to what he said before he ascended. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is present through the Spirit, which empowers his disciples. Or, to say it another way, rather than a single resurrected body with hands and feet, we are the new body of Christ, taking his message to the world. He is present in us. So rather than bringing the main character back, the story now continues through the other characters, namely us. And this means the ascension is really important for a few different reasons. First, like those original disciples, you might be scared of the unknown. You might grieve when death hits. You might not be sure what the future holds or how the story is going to continue. But Jesus is still with you. As we heard last week, Jesus will not leave us orphaned and alone. He remains with us, even when he's not with us in the flesh like he once was, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can still work through. So it's not about your inability. Instead, it's about his ability. He is present in you, and with you, and for you. Second, the ascension is the hinge, the turning point in the story. It is literally the moment that overlaps between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. It's the shift from the focus on the life of Jesus to the focus on the life of the church. In other words, with the ascension, Jesus is no longer limited to one person in one place in one time. Jesus is not bound by time and space anymore. Instead, he is present in all of us, in all places, in all times, so that all of us can share his good news. And third, with the ascension, we see that there's a difference between permanence and finality when it comes to death. This one's important. With a comic book death, the writers often bring back the hero, so there's no real sense of permanence or finality in the death. The death didn't really stick, and the story didn't really end. Sometimes we confuse permanence and finality. We think that if a person is really dead, permanent, then the story can't continue. Finality. My loved one has died, so the story of their life is over. Or, to turn it around, in order for their story to continue, then they would have to keep on living. But with the ascension, we see something really remarkable. Death is permanent, but it is not final. Let me say that again. Death is permanent, but it is not final. So that means Jesus is gone and the disciples are all confused. But the men in white remind them that Jesus comes again from among them. So Jesus is gone, permanent, but it's not the end of the story. Not final. Or think about it in terms of a TV show again. This season is over, permanent, but it's not the end of the show, not final. Or this school year is over, permanent, but it's not the end of your learning, not final. Or your loved one has died. Permanent, but they have new life in Christ. Not final. Do you see the difference? Jesus comes again. And right now, he comes again through them. They continue the story. We continue the story. Have you ever thought of that? You are an important character in the ongoing story of Jesus in the world. The season finale may have happened, but we are characters in the new season of the story. Right? The story's not over. It is still going. Through us. So the comic book death may be so common that it's to be expected. But when it comes to Jesus, the story doesn't continue because the writers want to make more money. No, the story continues because Jesus knows that we have an important part to play in the story. Through the Holy Spirit, new life is happening in us and through us for the sake of the world. That is a great way to continue the story. What's even better is that we don't just watch it, we get to live it. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this new season. It's going to be a good one. So in the name of this one who continues his story through us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.